This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, biddies? It's drab t-shirt.
It's Matt Valdez.
It's
a little weird right now. We're in a separate studio from what we normally do, our bit season recordings. There's a Nats game at 1 o'clock, and one of the producers needs a studio to record something for air for the Nats game. So I'm staring at the back of Drab's beautiful head.
Hey, come hell or high water, we're going to do an episode. Actually, that's not true at all. Once a month, we skip a week.
Sometimes we got stuff going on. But we are in our side studio, so it may sound a little bit different. It's definitely weird. I don't get size staring at the back of your head.
Well, just you're a radio professional, theater of the mind, Valdez.
All right,
just let it flow.
I am.
Yeah.
Radio professional.
Usually we stare into each other's beautiful eyes, but
we can kind of pick up what you're putting down just by staring at you. We almost have a telekinetic type of chemistry. It's almost like we're twins, Drab. You know how they say twins can read each other's minds,
yes.
know what they're thinking. We have a relationship that's kind of like that.
I got enough twin mind reading in my life. I don't need any more.
Is that true? You would know best.
They more so have their own language and their own communication system. So, yeah. I wouldn't call it mind reading, but they definitely are on their own playing field where you don't, they're laughing at stuff.
Right,
or they're talking.
Two against one.
And you don't have any idea what bits they're in on. But I guess that could be for a lot of siblings. But yeah, I mean, dude, it's a different studio, but we got a great show lined up for everybody today. Hey, I think it's been a pretty entertaining week considering that it's Jaden Mania here at 106.7 The Fan.
We got some nuggets this week that we want to address. A lot of stuff I want to talk about with EB.
EB's on your mind. I actually got something I want to talk to you about before you get into it because it just happened.
Okay.
So you weren't in the studio, but I was talking to EB.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but what? Why not?
Yeah. Number one, why was Eric so hanging around today?
He said his tea time got canceled.
Oh, okay.
But he was also moping around because he said just a few moments ago that he is disheartened because you are no longer showing interest in his golf game and that you are mocking him and you're zinging him. And you're not like his golf buddy anymore. And I said, I hadn't noticed that. And he said, yeah, absolutely. When I show him my golf swing, he's doing zings now and he's trying to make it funny bits. And before we were bros, and he goes, anytime Valdez sends something about his score, I hype him up. And he's just not returning the favor. I swear to God, that was a real conversation I just had.
He must be in La La Land. I am the number one supporter.
I said I hadn't noticed that. Okay. But he goes, I need you to focus in on that because he is no longer supporting me. He used to give me tips and he used to be my listening ear, and now it's just a zing factory.
What? No, this is
what's going on? Are you tired out?
No, I'm not tired out.
How could you not be?
Well, at some point, I don't know the flaws of his swing right now, because his swing has changed a lot. This, by the way, this is probably so boring to everyone, but his swing.
Well, I don't care about the golf stuff.
But his swing's fine now. I don't see major flaws in his swing. He can get around the course and score with his swing. He's seeing a short game coach, so like I can't really help him with his short game. He has a new lab putter, so apparently his putting should be fine. I got nothing else really to offer.
This is what I'm telling you. You got to figure out how to get to him.
And he doesn't like this. This is why he thinks I'm zinging him, but. This is my big beef with Eric and his golf game, is that he's a simulator baby.
Oh yeah, he said that. Yeah,
he is. Oh, he did. He's a simulator baby.
Yeah, he says all I do is hit off the hit into the sim. I don't go out there and I don't play 18.
You gotta he's really carved his game into something special. But at the end of the day, you gotta go out there and play the course to how it's presented to you.
I know, but
you can't.
Can I tell you something that you already know? He just wants you to show interest in his passion.
I have interest.
I know, but you're making funny bits out of it,
and so it's not even funny bits.
He feels that you don't care about his interest anymore. This is like a relationship. Everybody, you got like six different relationships, all right? And you got to know how everyone works differently. And so he's needy.
Okay, he needs more attention.
Yes, he's like
okay. I got to show him. I got to throw him a bone. Show him attention. I have interest in what he's doing. But I've seen his simulator swing thousands of times now. Right, hey. I've seen his simulator swing. Let me go see him cut a driver off of a tree on a dog leg right. You know what I mean? That's kind of where he is with his game. He can hit the ball straight into a net. That's great. It's awesome.
You need more.
Just
fake interest.
Okay.
Fake interest.
All right.
But you know what?
But time out. I don't want you. But when I'm hyping him up.
No, I don't care.
I know. I'm saying I don't want you to go. Valdez is just doing this because.
Oh no, I wouldn't do that. Okay. I wouldn't do that. I'll just leave the room like I usually do. This is so boring to me.
Just like this last 5 minutes were to our
listeners. No. I'm interested in that. And actually, it kind of reminded me of something that ricked me about an Instagram reel that my wife sent me, because I was talking about, like, you know, it's a relationship and you got to feed the relationship and massage and all this stuff.
And by the way, speaking of which, I send Eric Instagram reels all the time about the swing and like stuff that makes me think of him and his swing. Just putting that out there. Eric is a needy person, so you're right. Sometimes he's feeling down, especially now because all of his boys are canceling because it's raining. So he needs a golf shoulder to cry on.
So,
all right, go ahead.
I want to get your opinion on this. My wife said this to me, and it actually ricked me because I didn't have a retort to this because my wife knows that I like fantasy football. What guy doesn't? So she sent me an Instagram reel, some dope on stage. Maybe it was a minister or a motivational speaker. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy on stage saying, men will spend hours every single week playing a game called fantasy football, and they will crunch all the numbers and they will adjust everything to exactly perfect before the game on Sundays. And he said, and then he goes on to say, but they won't do that with their relationship with their wife. And so now my wife sent me this thing, right? And she said something to me like, I need you to treat this relationship like you do with your five fantasy football teams.
Hold on, she said that?
She saw this dumb reel.
Uh-huh.
And it does, I mean, and you can draw a comparison to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my wife wants me to fine-tune our relationship for hours and hours a week like I do my college fantasy football team.
She wants you to go on the waiver wire for dinners.
Reassessments every week. And the guy goes on, he says, that's just a game. But all the men out there, they won't put the hours in and crunch the data for the most important game in their life, their relationship with their wife or something. And I'm like, oh my God, kill me. And now every Sunday she's asking me about my fantasy football team. Have you crunched the data for your fantasy football team? Have you
checked the matchups?
Yeah. Then she's like, all right, have you crunched the data in the relationship this week?
She says, yes. Have you crunched our data?
Yes, our data. What time are you putting into the relationship?
Whoa.
Are you feeding the relationship? It's just, you know.
Does she understand it's called fantasy football because it's an escape from the reality?
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't. She's not going to understand fantasy football.
Can I be honest yes. with you? She needs a hobby.
She's got her hobby is like a lot of women staring at their phones and guys. It's an addictive. The social media is addictive.
It's very addictive.
Right. And so I'm sure it's nothing, you know, it's not a real insight to our relationship or anything like that. But I'm sure lots of people in relationships or marriages send each other these motivational relationship things all the time.
I think friends, couples, whatever, they always send stuff back and forth.
Now I got my wife in my fantasy football business.
I want to
enjoy that.
You can't even go to the waiver wire without feeling guilty.
So 11 a.m. on Sundays, I'm trying to crunch this data for 1 p.m. kickoffs, and she's checking in on me to make sure that I'm crunching the relationship data, feeding that relationship. I'm like, I got it. I'm working on it.
She ruined it for you.
She kind of did.
Why? All right. Number one, it's nice. It's nice that she's trying to connect with you.
Yeah.
All right.
There is that.
All right. That's special. And she's trying to do it on a level that you understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is many psychologists, but she needs a hobby. She can't be spending all day finding these reels to send you to make you feel guilty.
You know what hobby she wants to get into is pickleball.
That's a perfect hobby.
I know. How many another wife involved in pickleball?
Perfect hobby.
As if the DMV doesn't have enough of those.
Yeah. The sound of the pickleball masks all the yente.
This going will shock
on.
You. She played it with some friends for the first time, and she said she was really good.
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and she's a natural, and everybody's playing it, and she went. You know, I'm like, all right, well, let's get you some lessons. I'm sure I could. I'm sure I know some people. I know there's a paddle that's being unused that someone gave me.
Isn't it weird that your wife is gravitating to the thing that pisses you off the most?
No, it's not surprising. I don't know if she really knows how much
my disdain
for pickleball. And actually, it's not even pickleball itself. It's just the overtaking of tennis that pickleball is doing that annoys me. I hope pickleball becomes the number two sport in America. I just want them to have their own facilities. Stop tearing down tennis courts or invading our tennis courts for your pickleball games.
Hey, was it you who told me the theory behind pickleball?
What's that?
That like it's everything in our lives right now is like a microwave society where
I'm interested in this.
Everything needs to be condensed. Everything needs to, you know what I mean? Everyone wants to feel good about like moving 2 feet.
Oh, maybe I have. But I think the thing with pickleball is that it doesn't take any training. Like a lot of sports out there, you just can't pick it up and play it and have fun the first time you play it because they're challenging. You don't know how to do things. Like you can't just go play golf for the first time and be like, wow, that was amazing. I crushed that ball. You know,
right. The instant gratification of being good at pickleball, having the court condensed, moving around for 5 feet to make you feel good, like you're putting up a sweat.
That's why I'll never respect it. It's a drinking game. It's a backyard game.
It's a cooler sport.
Yeah. What's the game with the mallets? And the balls and the grass, the lawn game.
Oh, croquet.
Croquet. It's croquet to me. It's like the same thing. So my wife might be playing it soon here.
Hey, speaking of sports,
mm-hmm.
I want to get your take on JP's hottest sports take of the year, the 2024 hottest sports take. Josh Allen is a good quarterback. What I don't understand.
Where's he been?
Yeah. What's going on? Where did this come from? Why is JP planting this flag right now? Is he trying to be ahead of a Josh Allen Super Bowl curve? I don't get it. Can someone please explain it to me?
Like, where have you been for the last few years, JP? I mean, maybe he was man-crushing over somebody else. He had too much Luka in his life to make room for Josh Allen. But he is bringing up how great Josh Allen is numerous times this past week, as if Josh Allen hasn't always had pretty good stats. But he keeps saying this week, look at the stats. Look at the stats.
I think, and I'm trying to connect the dots, and I think that's why he really likes Josh Allen.
Yeah, but doesn't he?
No, because the team, not only does the team win, but it wins along with the stats, so it can kind of confirmation bias, the fact that a quarterback is all you need. If a quarterback has good stats, a team wins. So I think that's why he's gravitating towards it. I don't know. Just something I'm theorizing. I don't understand it. Why is it coming out of right field all of a sudden?
Well, it's always like it's somewhat flirtatious comments, like the swooning over him all of a sudden. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I do find, like, his fascination with all you need is a quarterback is tilted.
Oh, my God.
And that actually is my tilt of the week, Valdez. Is it earlier this week when the Commanders beat the Bengals, JP made, he goes, see, all you need is a quarterback. It's the quarterback,
it fixes
right?
Everything.
That's the big difference for the Commanders. As if the Bengals don't have one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, did he just forget that who they were playing that night?
I know, by JP's logic, the Bengals shouldn't be 0-3.
If I had a dollar every time JP said, all you need is a quarterback, I could retire.
I think it's very – I don't know if I've said this on the show or on here, but it's just – it's very elementary, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's too simple. It's much more complex than that. Like if that's the answer to everything, then you wouldn't have a 4-hour sports show. You would just say, just get a quarterback, just get a quarterback, just get a quarterback.
Well, that's why, you know, I wish the junkies, like, nobody wants to do breaking down scheme football, right?
Right.
Like
that's
not fun for the listeners. You guys know, kind of. You know, I was watching the WWE, the Vince McMahon documentary last night. Okay. Have you started watching that yet?
I did. I watched.
Oh,
like
you
the,
have?
I watched the first episode. I watched like 30, 40 minutes of it. Not all, almost all of it, but not all of it.
I'm going to try to draw this comparison, and I don't think this is a stretch. Vince McMahon was talking about when they were kind of building the WWE up, how he hated the term pro wrestling. He saw the WWE as an entertainment
vehicle.
Entertainment vehicle, right?
Yeah, pro wrestling has like a weird connotation to it.
Yeah, it's dorky, it's inside, it doesn't have a lot of room for growth, right?
Yeah, it attracts a certain type of crowd.
I think that's the way you and me and our company sees the fan, right? And sees especially more so the junkies. The junkies use sports to get you in the door, but we are more of an entertainment show, more broad. We're not nuts and bolts going to break you down the plays.
Right. We're not going to tell you the difference between a cover 4 and a cover 2.
No, but I do think that's where, I think our show has to get better. And I say our show, I mean the four guys talking, because I know ball.
Hey, you don't know that because you told Terry good luck tomorrow.
That I was nervous, and we maybe get into that later. I kind of died a little bit like a couple weeks ago when Cakes said on the air, you think I know what 11 personnel is.
That's kind of.
You think I know what cover 2 is. Now, look, you don't have to break it down, but you got to know the basics. You got to know.
That's almost, it's not football. It's not football 101. It's football 201.
Right.
I feel like if you've been doing shows this long, you should be past football 201, right?
Yes, we for hockey, that's okay, right? If we're talking hockey, because nobody in our listening audience, broadly speaking, understands the flow of the game of hockey.
The nuance.
And the nuances. I know for our deep hockey fans out there, that's frustrating. But it is what it is. It's just, it's so hard for the guys to kind of, and for myself, and for to really understand the nuances of hockey. But for football, we should be really, really good at that and be able to deliver it in a non-dorky way, if that makes sense. Because breaking down plays and stuff, it's boring. It's like going to class. You got to have some, you got to back it up with opinions and having fun as well. So I see us as an entertainment vehicle, Valdez.
Yes.
Not pro, I don't like to use that term. Pro wrestling.
I like that analogy.
All right. Were you liking that I was thinking about the show while watching the Vince McMahon documentary?
I'm going to be honest with you. I like to turn my brain off about the show at night.
It's tough sometimes.
Should I give you my tilt of the week?
Yeah, let me hear yours.
My tilt of the week happened today, and it happened during the Metallica game that we were doing. I was beyond tilted this morning when Eric Bickle told the listening audience to just cheat for winning the Metallica tickets. When we play the Metallica,
name that Metallica tune.
Metallica tune of the day.
Yeah.
The deep cut. Eric lobbied for all of our listeners on the line to get their Shazam out and start Shazamming the song so that someone could find a winner. That I don't know why it pissed me off so much, but it really, really, really tilted me.
Well, it's unfortunate that it ended up that way, because I'd like to pat myself on the back a little bit for fine-tuning that game where we play music and people guess what the song is. Uh-huh. Because nothing grinds my gears more than when we play one song for 10 minutes and then we just have 10 billion people calling in for 10 minutes trying to guess what it is. And then, you know, you take a zillion bad calls and people calling in trying to get the next song. And, that song's
still... That person's on delay. Right. They've moved on.
Fine-tuned it. Four people go through. If they don't know it, we're on to the next song. So it's not people... I'm trying to get away from that. People Shazamming in their cars and then calling in. But yeah, Eric was like, why don't you just Shazam it?
And, this is why it really, really angered me, because it's kind of a big prize.
Yeah, it is a huge prize.
It's a huge prize.
It's going to be one of our top prizes of the year, for sure.
And we found a way to, get rid of the prize picks. I thought we really found a way to get rid of the prize picks.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric is trying to, if anyone has half a brain, they can probably figure out a way to cheat the system, but just don't go out there and tell the people how to do it. Don't tell them how the hot dog's made.
Hey, if you guys don't think that there are prize pigs, this was so annoying to me this week, because I know that we have prize pigs, Keith from Laurel. Okay, he calls in all the time. I'm sure you've heard the name. A lot of times I didn't mind it, because I'm like, this guy, he's dialed into the show. He's listening every second for the cue to call, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely some...
I mean, I'm like, he's listening 4 hours a day. Yeah. How angry can I be?
Yeah. The guy that's putting in the work, how angry
But
can
then
be?
This week, Karina from The Drive is out. And CK asked me to go into The Drive and to get winners for their contest, their Duran Duran tickets.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I hear the cue to call and I look down at the phones and it's the same eight people calling that dumb line as the same eight people that are trying to be first in line to win the prizes on the fan. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how people are listening to six radio stations at once and knowing all the prizes. I guess because we tell people when we're going to give stuff away.
Yeah. But hey, that's called appointment listening.
I want to go back to listen for the tiki sound effect.
it's going to happen. the Brady Bunch tiki doll sound effect.
Yeah. So you don't know when it's going to drop.
Okay. So hold on. So you saw the same people call?
Yes,
that call?
Keith from Laurel was calling, and I don't know. Roy was calling. It was the same. It's the same people over and over and over again.
Why do you think they sell the tickets?
I don't know. I don't know if they're just... You can't be a fan of everything. I don't know what these people do with the prizes. I wouldn't even want that many prizes. You have to pay taxes on all the stuff. You can't just get 700 tickets from a radio station from a year and then not pay any income on it.
That's true.
I don't know. But more power to you. I guess thank you for listening.
Hey, speaking of music, mm-hmm. I want to get your theory on why Eric is out on Jelly Roll. right? He was the guy who discovered Jelly Roll. He was the soulful guy who had a great backstory.
He said that was his white whale for in-studio guest.
He was he just loved the story. It was all about it. Was first to the scene, mm-hmm. and now what does he say about Jelly Roll? He's overexposed. I don't understand. I think there's two things.
I'm not really following Jelly Roll. I don't know the first thing about him. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you one of his songs.
Save Me.
Okay. I see Jelly Roll until I don't have any problem with him. Seems like a nice guy. Seems people love him. I think there's either two things that happen. Either one, EB doesn't like that he's too famous now and that EB's not getting credit for discovering someone.
Okay.
Right? It's kind of like, I listened to Korn before they were big.
Okay.
Right?
Before he got commercialized.
Right. Or...
I can see that.
Or, and I have no file on this, maybe Jelly Roll is voting for a person that EB doesn't agree with.
Oh.
You know, like maybe he gave an endorsement.
Oh.
And or he was seen somewhere at a rally. I have no idea. But that could also be another reason. That if you want EB, get tuned on you quick. Vote for the wrong person.
Okay. I did not think it,
you know, an endorsement. Like,
I did not think about it.
I don't think it's, you have to be a genius to figure out why he's not a big fan of Taylor Swift anymore. Right?
Okay.
It is what it is. We don't talk about those things on the show. I'm not sure. Valdez and I work really hard as the guys on the show not to divide the audience, even though they are humans and they have their opinions on stuff and stuff gets through. And people even pick up on the small stuff that gets out there and they get frustrated on it. But just imagine if EB was on the mic screaming about who he loved all the time. So anyways, but he's very passionate about that stuff. Most of you guys listening know that.
I didn't even put two and two together.
Jelly Roll's.
I just thought it was overexposure.
No, it might be. I think it's first is the Korn thing. I liked him before he was big, but my second guess is that he's involved in some political movement that EB doesn't agree with.
Like I kind of equated it to the Kelsys. You remember?
Well, why do you think he doesn't like the Kelsys?
I got tired of Jason Kelce because I see his big belly chugging beers on ESPN every day.
You gave me props for firing out that tweet about Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
And that I got ahead of the wave.
You did. I didn't tell you on air?
And I think it was off air. You were like, you picked up on that verse. Nobody likes Jason Kelce but Eagles fans.
It's true. Yeah,
that whole world's going to turn on him.
And it did. I think it's doing it very quickly. Did you see Mad Dog was dragging him on his show?
No.
Saying, this is what Jason Kelce doesn't understand. And I think Jason Kelce needs to sit down with some radio pros like ourselves.
Okay. You don't think he's not getting advice from top broadcasters out there?
I think they're giving him the wrong advice.
Mm, okay.
Because I think a lot of these shows, they don't deal with stooges. They don't deal with bits.
Yeah.
I think we master in that. I think that's our specialty on the show. And what Jason Kelce doesn't understand is that he is taking the Adam Epstein approach to broadcasting. And it's a very
but
hard...
But isn't there room for that? Don't we need that?
No, I think so. But he doesn't understand that he is... People aren't liking him because he is the loud, in-your-face, obnoxious person who is like belly flopping in the pool during a party.
I will give you my biggest reason, and I kind of said this on the show, that speaking of not being involved in tactics and schemes and just being interested, I don't care about offensive linemen.
Not many people do.
I barely know what you're doing out there. You're not a star. I don't want to know what you look like. I don't want to know. I like receivers. I like some like cakes. I like receivers, quarterbacks, running backs.
I shouldn't know your name. I should know your face.
You're
a helmet to me.
I couldn't tell you. Seahawks drafted Charles Cross, number 10 overall, right? A couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
He gets high PFF ratings. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I have no idea what he looks like, and I intend to keep it that way. That's the way I like my offensive lineman.
Are you saying Jason Kelce hasn't earned?
He'll never earn it unless his name is Travis. The only guy who earned any bit of airtime this past week was the tackle that caught the touchdown pass from Jayden Daniels
because he caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah,
but that's the. That's the path that Jason Kelce is going down, is that he's the show buffoon, he's the show stooge, he's the right, he's mm-hmm. the pinata, he's the bit guy, and I don't think Jason Kelce understands that he's the all right, go out there and shake your belly and slam these beers together like Stone Cold Steve Austin while we all laugh at you.
Yeah, I've just overexposed
Valdez.
Well, there's a tinge of that, but he's got to be conscious of the road that he's going down. And I feel for Adam, because I think there's a lot, and I think there's a lot of people out there who may listen to his show middays in Richmond. But if he was in the market doing midday shows, let's mm-hmm. say in DC, Adam would have the stigma of being the lying loser from the Junkies.
Hey,
I can't take what Adam has to say seriously because of what he's done in the past.
Can I tell you something, though, that where Adam has passed the Junkies? Adam knows college basketball.
I know, like the back of his hand.
Like the back of his hand. Like he knows it. He knows it better than you and me.
I know.
And because he's had to put a lot of work in, because he's covering VCU, UVA, Richmond, Virginia Tech. And so he studies the ACC like crazy. So he knows, I mean, he knows more than Jason. Like, he'll call me and be like, Jason's wrong about this when he's talking about college basketball. Adam, he's kind of building a little bit of just
that's a great niche for him.
It is a great niche
because
for him.
I feel like the college basketball community would be open armed toward Adam.
Now, look, he couldn't tell you a fastball from a curveball if it hit him in the face.
Yeah.
But college basketball, he's doing work, and I got to give him props for that.
But would you agree with me in the Jason Kelce, Adam Epstein comparison, where like Adam is known up here as mm-hmm. the lying loser who is the Junkies stunt man?
Right.
I was that way until Adam came along.
Well, see, you always need someone low on the totem pole. We love Mike Marr, but Mike Marr is—he's
employed by the company. He can't really.
He's more buttoned up. He's so nice and quiet. He's like falls in that John Lindsay territory, where he's just too innocent to make him slam his head into the door. We need a stupid person. We need a stupid, stupid person to come to be on the show.
Hey, someone say it's us.
Hey, let's take a quick break. I got something I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
It's kind of a little bit. I'll just give you a little. What else we got here on our rundown?
I want to talk about
the Terry McLaurin.
Yeah. I want to talk about your running. And then Eric's also. It's very Eric filled today. Eric's the master motivator, putting the extra into extraordinary.
All right. Speaking of master, I want to ask the master of puppets, Metallica. I'm getting a lot of messages, especially from my friend Kent, that Metallica sucks.
Really?
I want to get your thoughts on that when
okay.
we come back, all right?
All right. Hey, before we come back, I got to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drabby and myself by going to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. When you get there, use that promo code BITTIES to save 10% on every order. Need a quick boost to get you through that CrossFit workout? Pound a 2-ounce energy shot. Need to stay ready in case your wife calls you into action unexpectedly when you're trying to put in the same work that Drab does during your fantasy lineups and the waiver wire? Sip on a 12-ounce can right now. Throw some swag in your cart before you check out. And remember, don't sleep.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Sleep makes you great.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 145. Drabin Valdez here.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Quick bathroom break. Right back with it. Hey, so before the break, Valdez, I just asked you about Metallica and do they suck? And this is not, I'm having a conversation with my friend Kent after the Junkie show today.
Kent's getting a lot of I like to play Kent,
my buddy Kent. And I got my two best friends' names are Kent, if you haven't figured that out over the years. It can get confusing. One lives in Chicago, one lives in Washington State, who I went to high school with. But Kent in Chicago, by the way, who said that he would not be, he told me, I will not be driving to Soldier Field to drop off a basket for you and film it. He goes, I love the show, and I got too much going on.
I was
going
to say, isn't that but far away, too?
I think he lives up by, like, Northwestern or something.
Okay.
Also, I don't think he cares about the ADs or anything like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't love the show that much, clearly, even though he listens every day. All right, this is what he said. And we've had, I think, off-air discussions, Valdez, about Enter Sandman, and I've heard from people that say, I hate Enter Sandman on the Junkies. I skip it on the podcast, on the chapters, right away. All I do is hit 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds until it's over with. Please start the show. That song sucks. It's so overdone. Please get a new song, right?
Okay.
Well, first off, what do you think about that?
I agree. Here's why. Because I feel like, number one, I feel like Virginia Tech owns it, and like nobody else can do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I enjoyed the song, but the show has ruined the song for me.
Mm.
Because every time I hear it, I think about work. So essentially, it has ruined it. It's kind of run its course with the show. And at first, the premise of playing Enter Sandman was to mimic the Virginia Tech Hokies and kind of like get everybody all hyped up, get ready for the show. Hey, the Junkies are coming out of the tunnel, slapping the wood beam, have their lunch pail ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's almost like a warm up song, get you all hyped up. Like an MLB closer coming out of the pen. But now the song is basically, how many minutes can I kill in the first segment by letting the song run? So that's why I would say yes.
So my biggest problem with it is that, mostly. Maybe there was a time, a long time ago, where radio shows would have these big, long intros. The Mike O'Mara Show, broadcasting live from the legendary Fairfax studio.
And you have the
Rob Spiewak.
Have all of his clips.
From the day before.
What was it? Opie and Anthony, what did they used to play? They used to play the doo-doo,
right. It's from a bygone era.
Why can't I think of that? And then, enough with the calamity. Let's start the show.
That is from a bygone era, and maybe podcasting has changed that a lot because people would just skip over it. But the trend now is just get into the show, right? Start the show quick. It could even be a rejoiner. If you want to play the same song every day at that time, great. But get into the show. 10, 15 seconds. You know, there's a lot going on. I will never understand why we're playing 2 minutes of a buildup of a song. But here's my real opinion on it. I feel like it's important to the guys, and it's important to the, quote, history of the show. So I'm too scared to, like, push those guys on it and say, this is, in my opinion, not great.
Right.
We could do something better, especially let's get into the show. People are waiting. Every minute counts.
I would do that.
But there's something to be said for tradition as well. But that's not why I... So we're giving out Metallica tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kent in Chicago is the one that's been telling me, one of the ones have told me I don't like the intro to the Junkies. I always skip it forward. But I think
there's a lot of people.
He sent me a message at around 10 a.m. today. It says, "Man, Metallica is awful. I'm listening to this game show segment. Guys have seen them 14 times in concert. Can't tell the difference in songs. They've had 3 hits in 30 years. Let me tell you, I can name every Blind Melon song I hear, and they've had 1 hit. I can name every Biggie song. I know every single word. These guys just bang around for 3.5 minutes to the same song over and over and over again."
Hey, honestly, that's a very astute observation by Ken.
Right? Is it not?
The guy that says, "I've seen them for 14 years, and it sounds like he's beating trash cans outside of Capital One."
Right. Yeah. Now, look, I like Metallica, as in, if I'm at the gym, right? Cork put on Metallica yesterday because he knew we were giving out tickets, and I felt the pump, and I felt good. I had a good workout during it.
Yeah,
it serves its purpose at times.
Uh huh.
But
there's no people listening into the car, like driving on 66, listening to Metallica, right?
I just don't think Metallica speaks to. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Does Metallica speak to people, like, or does every song the same?
Every song's the same,
right?
Yeah. The more you think about it. Yeah, you're right. They're all the same.
And for as long as they've been around, they really should have had more hits.
More radio hits.
Not even just more songs that people can sing along to or know. Everyone knows the same 5 songs.
Yes. One, Unforgiven, Master of Puppets,
Whiskey in a Jar,
their cover of Turn the Page.
I don't even know if I could tell you that one if I heard it. The other ones I could.
Well, the Turn the Page is a Bob Seger song that they cut.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And by the way, that's the opening. I couldn't think of it. They literally play this for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the dumb name of the song. Someone will tell us.
That bit is over with. Long intros.
Howard Stern's, where he does it with Rob Zombie, where he sings with Rob Zombie, American Nightmare.
Who sings the song?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to go in the comments. Hold on. Ecstasy of Gold. Is that?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That is Metallica song.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I was gonna say that sounded like Metallica. All right, so we know now 7 songs.
Yeah.
They might suck, Valdez.
Yeah, you might be right, but for whatever reason...
I've been to 37 shows. I have no idea what song that is.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? And maybe I'm way off. These metalheads, these Metallica sillies, they might be like Grateful Dead people.
where they just fry?
Yeah, where they're just... Their brains are fried. Their eardrums are so busted out that all of the songs sound like one big drum kit that they're listening to.
I do find it funny, though, that EB is so stereotypical that he thinks that guys who like Metallica all have greasy hair,
jobless.
Jobless.
Long hair.
Metallica's pretty big, dude. Yeah, it's not Cannibal Corpse or something, right?
It's very like 1950s. Rock music is wild.
Right.
It's going to ruin your – rock music will ruin your life.
All right, that's it. That's all I had about Metallica.
Hey, do you – do you want to update everyone on Terry McLaurin?
I don't have an update.
Are you on the lookout? Because
but I just want credit. I want credit because everyone makes a big deal, everyone, in Philadelphia, of this guy named Jack Fritz, right?
Okay.
Fritz is like a producer and nighttime show host there.
He's the guy that organized the standing ovation for Trey Turner.
Apparently, and now I saw something that it was actually somebody else, and it was the Philly captain, and he stole his idea. But he was taking credit for turning Trey Turner around.
Well,
right?
you realize what we take credit for. We take credit for the Nationals World Series.
Oh, why? What did we do again?
When the Nats were 19-31 or whatever the turnaround happened, we told Mike Rizzo we're going to change his walk-up music.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we changed the walk-up music.
Do you know what other why we take credit for the Capitals Stanley Cup.
Get that Stanley?
No. That we did not play Stanley. We refused.
Yes.
You and I refused to play Get That Stanley. Because for the previous 3 or 4 years, we kept playing that Get That Stanley bit every time the playoffs started, and they would bomb out in the first round. And the in 2018, Valdez and I agreed that we're not playing that. We're not going to let you guys hear that until they win the Stanley Cup. And sure enough, they won that year.
Hey, that's why we're a part of the parade.
Just as good of a reason as the Junkies, in my opinion.
Hey, I do get some sort of satisfaction that the Nationals let a vocal Orioles fan be in their parade.
Grant Paulson? Just kidding.
Hey. One Matt Valdez.
Hey, it was embarrassing, though. Hey,
that's why I treat Nats fans like they're sitting in the cuck chair.
All right, let me tell you. So I see Terry at 7-Eleven. And look, and this is nothing to brag about, but like, we've had enough people call in. We talk to the coaches every week. We talk to players. We talk to Sebastian Maniscalco today. I don't have any problem talking to people that are quote-unquote celebrities, right?
Right.
I just was caught so off guard. I wasn't mentally prepared. Like, my kids were in the car. I was thinking about what I was getting them. And so when I bumped, always be ready, Valdez, right? It's the mantra of the show. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to have a conversation with Terry McLaurin. And not only did I, when I said good luck tomorrow, I didn't know who the Commanders played. We just did an entire week lead up. And I was so off guard. I'm standing there and I'm like fumbling, you know, pretending to look at cookies. I'm like, I don't know who the Commanders, I can't remember. I was like, why is Terry here on a Saturday? What is he doing? Like, should he be anywhere? Are they on the road? Who are they playing? Good luck tomorrow, Terry. That's basically how it went. Like, I couldn't. This is, until I left the store, I couldn't figure out who they were playing and when.
This is the most shocking part about the story is that, I mean, we've been in radio for a long time, and it's almost like we're kind of numb to celebrity, and for you to be kind of thrown off like that is shocking.
I just didn't have anything to say.
It's weird. We always have canned crap to say.
I know. You always, it's small talk.
Yeah. Do you know what my canned response is when I'm talking to people or if I meet people for the first time or whatever and the people introduce me? They say, hey, this is Matt Valdez. He's the producer with the Junkies. If the person listens, great. I can talk to them. They can ask a question.
Well, I definitely didn't want to say anything about being at the radio station.
I know. But my canned reply for someone goes, I know the show. I don't really listen. My canned reply is, there's more people that don't listen than do. That way they feel good about themselves.
All right. So today you're going to get your grizzly snuff today, Valdez, before you're around. You walk into 7-Eleven.
Yeah, and who do I bump into?
You bump into De'Ami Brown. What are you saying?
I say, I took one on the chin to JMU.
Right, you're gonna say, nah, boom, you boom, wouldn't say that. Boom, you wouldn't say that.
Boom.
You wouldn't say
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. I had it ready to go.
Nah,
you gotta think on your feet. You don't think on your feet.
I usually do, but you wouldn't say that to him.
I'd say, man, 50 burger in the first half. That's a rough look.
Hey, you know what actually I did think about? Is that I? It was Saturday afternoon. Ohio State was playing.
I know.
And Terry was at 7-Eleven. I actually thought, why isn't he at home?
you're saying
like, why isn't he? Shouldn't he be watching the game?
Yeah.
I know he doesn't care about other NFL games, but shouldn't he be watching Ohio State? Yeah,
Buckeyes.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when, like, this Sunday, the Seahawks were playing at 4, the Commanders on Monday night. I missed the first part of the football games at 1 p.m. One of my biggest pet peeves, Valdez, is when I see people repping gear for teams out and about while their team is playing. I see it all the time, especially at Costco. I saw a guy wearing a Steelers sweatshirt at Costco at 1:15 p.m. on Sunday. I'm like, you're either a fan or you're not.
Well, this is, I give
it,
him.
It always
I,
by, rips
by the way,
me.
I think that might be low-key smart.
Why?
because he knows that everyone already did their Costco shopping, and it's
Costco was packed at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
It's deserted at 1 o'clock.
No.
Hey, what are you doing at 1 o'clock at Costco?
I told you.
I know, I'm teasing.
Too much football. I can't watch football. I like to spread it out.
Football inundated with commercials. He could be that kind of guy.
Oh, he likes to come home.
Start it on the DVR, get through all the commercials, get through the Nubs kickoffs that go out of the end zone, fast forward through halftime. This guy could be...
It was another Pittsburgh one. One time at Costco, I saw a couple years ago, Pitt was in the Elite Eight. And I saw a guy wearing a Pitt sweatshirt and a Pitt hat at Costco while the Pitt Panthers were playing in the Elite Eight in the middle of the game. I was so annoyed.
That was stunned.
Hey, that's my tilt of the week.
Hey, you might be annoyed, but I'm kind of out on spending all day on the sofa watching NFL.
Well,
college.
It's just hard. Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I was at Costco, because I can't do 1 to 4, 4 to 7:30, dabble with Sunday Night Football, back again on Monday Night Football.
I don't have the stamina that I have anymore. I can't just sit there with my brain being fried watching Red Zone or any of the other games all day, all night, the next day. And then if you do it, and God bless you, I can't do it anymore. But if you're sitting on your tuchus all day Saturday and all day Sunday, I would feel like a slug. I can't do it anymore.
Well, I also I really enjoy college football, especially just sitting there and watching random teams. A lot of that has to do with fantasy football.
Right.
Because I love college fantasy football. And so I'm watching Western Michigan play games. Like, I'm just doing dumb things.
Well, God bless you. Like I ration my time out. Like, I know I want to watch the Terps play at noon, and then I'll probably be back for Bama, Georgia at 7:30.
There's nothing that irritates me more. Like, I feel like the biggest waste of life was when I watched the Commanders at 1 for work. And then at 4 o'clock, or even 4:30, a 4:25 kickoff, Seahawks. And I waste all three, as in it's 7:45 at night, and the Seahawks lose, right? And then you've wasted your entire day watching football, and you're angry. Right? Like, that's it. Never again. I'm not wasting any more Sundays on this dumb couch.
Like, I missed the 1 o'clock games last week. I was playing golf.
Well, again, no requirement. Didn't the Ravens play at 1 o'clock?
No, they played at 4:25.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's fair.
What else was I going to say? Oh, do you know what else we do is we like to take the iPad and attach it to the golf cart. And then we have the games going on the iPad. And anytime there's a big play, you have Red Zone on, and it's going through your Bushnell Bluetooth speaker. And that's how you keep watch on it. So that way you're not just sitting like a slug, but that way you can also keep an eye on things.
All right.
That's my tip.
Valdez, one last thing today. It sounds like that computer is going to explode and overheat. One last thing for today. What is your take on the Ryan Poles basket bit? We haven't gotten into that. We're sending. I'm still a little bit confused. And if I'm confused, that's not a good sign. Are we sending it to Ryan Poles?
Are we sending it to Caleb?
And what are we like? Why? I guess you can kind of tell my opinion on the bit. I like doing bits, and EB's into it. So if EB's into it, I'm into it because. It's good for the show that he's passionate about.
Yeah, if he's passionate about it, it makes for a better radio. Yes, I totally agree.
But I still don't really know, like...
The end game?
The end game. Like, is the end game already over with? Like, we're going to put that thing in the mail and we'll obviously never hear from it again.
Right, there's going to be no follow-up.
There's no follow-up. What's the payoff? Why do the listeners care?
Do you know what we should have done? And I thought about this after the fact. But like you said, they seem very interested in sending it to Ryan Poles. This is what we should have done. We should have taken the basket and sent it to the Chicago radio station, 670, to score. Like, because they would have played along. Because I feel like just sending it
off. All right. Maybe we can fine tune this.
Like
sent it yet.
We send it to 670.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We start a radio war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Because we know they'll get it.
Yes.
So we send it to 670, the store.
And say, hey.
To the morning
show.
Yeah,
say, hey, we want to put this in good hands and make sure it gets to Ryan Poles.
No. I'm kind of, you're getting away from the radio.
Okay.
We antagonize the morning.
Hey, thanks for your, for fumbling.
Yeah, thanks
for the
thanks
city.
For the fumble. Thanks for Jaden.
Yeah, thank you for Jaden.
Yeah.
Thanks for the fumble. Thank you for Jaden.
Enjoy having another decade without a quarterback.
We gave you a lot of things to remind you of Ryan and Caleb.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like that more than send it to Ryan Poles where we know we won't hear anything.
Right. That's what makes the bit, I feel, extend and make it even better.
All right. It's now, still sitting over there. Bring that up tomorrow on the Junkies.
Okay. I thought about it today, but the guys were very into the Ryan thing.
Well, it's the same thing, but the Junkies are a little bit soft and they're not going to want a radio war with someone. But it's not even that. It's just, it's a radio.
It's teasing them.
Yeah, it's a radio zing. That's it. It's not a war. It's a radio zing.
Yes. Yeah. You know, hey, we know what we should do is tomorrow.
And we'll get more. What is this basket here for? It says from Washington, D.C.
We'll play the clips
the
when they talk about it. Who are the Junkies?
Yeah, why? Are those guys still doing a show?
And this is what I do is I'll call. We'll call the radio station. We'll give them the tracking number.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we'll record the thing, play it on air, zing them.
I like that a little better. All right. But do we need to now retool our basket. What we're putting
in
the basket.
No. This is it's perfect because we want to give you a bunch of stuff that reminds you of that loser Caleb and that loser Ryan Poles that you're stuck with.
Well, they're not
set
gonna,
your franchise.
Why would they need reading glasses or the golf book?
I don't know.
They're gonna think that's stupid and not even. They're gonna be. Oh, I don't understand this. They'll get the nail polish and maybe the pink phone.
What about the baby?
The baby oil. Yeah, I mean, that's, we might need to retool it a little bit, but I like where we're heading now. I kind of like this.
Okay.
All right. A send him a scouting book, 2025
That's what we'll do is we'll print out the mock drafts for next year and send it to him.
Top QBs, 2025.
Hey, that's what we'll do.
Try it again.
A Quinn Ewers biography.
Yeah. All right. Look for that tomorrow in the Junkies. We'll bring it up at some point.
All right, guys.
So we're out of here.
We're wrapping up.
Enjoy your weekend. Let's hopefully the Commanders get another dub, and everyone will keep the high energy going on the show.
Yeah. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
Take care.
Long enough.
Yeah. Oh, that was we went butt long.